Welcome to All Have Another Podcast with Lindsay Hine. I'm your host, Lindsay. Thank you so much for being here today. This is a show where I bring on motivating and inspiring women, and today you're listening to episode 55. I'm talking to Natasha Wodak. Natasha is a middle distance runner. She runs the 5K, the 10K, the 8K, the half marathon, and she's run the marathon. She competed in the 2016 Olympics in Rio in the 10,000 meters. She has a personal best time in the half marathon of 1:11:20, and she's only run one marathon, and she completed it in 2:35:11. Natasha lives in Vancouver, Canada. In this episode, we talk about her running career. We talk about how she stepped away from running for a few years and what made her decide to get back into it and at 35 compete in the Olympics for the first time. Natasha is funny, carefree, and I really enjoyed this conversation with her. I know you're going to love her fun personality. Before we get started talking with Natasha, I want to thank Now Foods for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. You guys head over to Now Foods and check out what they have to offer. You can find personal care items, supplements, sports nutrition, natural foods, all kinds of good stuff over at Now Foods. You know I buy my protein powder from them. You guys can save 25% off your next order. So if you're getting your vitamins or supplements from anywhere else, think about making a switch because you can get 25% off right now. If you just go to now-2-u.com, enter the promo code another all caps. I'm going to put the information for all of this in the show notes with a link, so you can just click on the link and shop away. Hey, if you guys are loving the show, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a rating and review on iTunes. It's the best way for new listeners or potential new listeners to find the show. And if you haven't checked out my Patreon page, head over to patreon.com/Lindsay Hine. There are 3 bonus episodes waiting for you. So that's 3 hours, pretty much 3 hours worth of great material, if I do say so myself. patreon.com/Lindsay Hine. Please make sure you're following me on Instagram, LindsayHine626, and Twitter at Lindsay Hine to keep up to date on what's going on information on upcoming new episodes, and of course, probably too many cute pictures of my children. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening and enjoy this conversation with Natasha. Hi.
Hi.
Where were you heading back from?
I am actually in the process of moving. So do you know Vancouver at all?
No.
Yeah. So I was, I'm moving sort of across the city. So I'm still in Vancouver, but I'm moving sort of from South Vancouver to North Vancouver.
Okay.
So in order to do that, I was driving I have to go all straight through downtown and I have to cross 2 bridges. Yeah, it usually takes about 25 minutes, but during rush hour, it takes an hour. And it was, it's like pouring rain and sort of starting to snow, so traffic was really bad.
Oh.
But I made it.
What time is it there?
5:30 now.
Okay. Yeah. And that's like probably a nasty time to be driving through. So we're talking to Natasha Wodak, and my friend Jamie is the one who suggested having you on the show.
Awesome. Jamie's lovely.
She's
so nice.
Fellow Canadian.
Yes.
I don't know anything about Canada.
Where are you right now?
So I live in Indianapolis.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I said to my husband before this interview, I was like, I think I need to ask her to teach me a little bit about Canada because I wanted to research you, but I know nothing about Canada itself.
That's funny. You've never been here? You've never been to Vancouver?
No. And I've worked with a couple girls that live in Canada, and Jamie, actually, she's so sweet. I used to coach her in running, and she sent our baby a little Canada onesie. And he's,
aww.
Yeah, and so he hasn't worn it yet, but I will proudly put it on him when he's big enough.
Yes. Well, Canada's big.
And so you're in Vancouver.
Yes.
And Jamie, I believe, is in Ottawa?
Ottawa, which is like basically New York, California.
Really?
Opposite.
Okay. That's crazy. Okay. And so I think I have a decent amount of listeners in Canada, so they're going to be really excited to hear from you.
Awesome.
I have a lot of questions to ask you. Can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where you grew up?
Sure. I'm 35 years old and I was born and raised in Vancouver. And running-wise, want to know my running, what I'm all about running-wise?
Well, yeah.
yeah, so I've been running since I was like 8 years old. And I was competitive throughout high school, but I was never, you know, the all-star in high school. I was always like third at provincials, which is like state. And I never won. I never made a national team, anything like that. And I actually went to school at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. For 3 semesters. And it just wasn't for me. I really missed home. And, you know, I didn't really like Arkansas itself. Very different than Vancouver. I was very homesick. So I came home and then I finished off my degree at a school here called Simon Fraser University and competed for the NAIA. And I really loved it. And, you know, I was, you know, I ran well, but, you know, nothing spectacular. I think I ran like 16, 17 for 5K and like, I don't know, I never ran a 10K. I think my 1500 was like 4:30, something like that. And, you know, I was always such a party girl in high school and in university, and I never sort of really committed myself to running. It was fun and I was pretty good at it. But, and then I quit running in 2006, I believe. I wouldn't say I quit running, but I quit competing. And I just ran for fun, you know, like 3 or 4 days a week when I felt like it, and went to the gym and I traveled and, you know, did a whole bunch of stuff. And I think it was 3 years later, I think close to 2009, I moved close to my old team and I started training with them again. And right away I started to improve and I thought, you know, now that I'm a bit older and you know, I've got a lot of that partying out of my system, you know, so let's give this a go. So I started, you know, really being committed to the program and really training hard, and I saw improvements right away. And within the first 2 years, I ran PBs in every distance from 1500 to half marathon. And, I just kept at it and kept improving, and I never thought in a million years if someone had told me in university or in college, you know, you're going to go to the Olympics in the 10,000. I just would have told you, no way. Like, I'll never be able to commit to that, what it takes to get there. But I did, you know, and I made it last year. So that's sort of like the very condensed version of the fact that, you know, I'm 35 and I've been running since I was 10.
Yeah.
So that's the short story.
So what were you doing professionally then in that time that you took off after college before you started training again?
Well, I went traveling for a while, New Zealand and Australia, and I've always served. So I was serving at like a really nice seafood restaurant, and I wanted to go into policing or probation, and so I had kind of gone through the process with policing, but I ended up getting a deferral for 2 years just because they were only hiring like 3 people that year. And so they said, you know, like take 2 years, basically come back and reapply. And so that was sort of why I was like, oh, I'm going to train, right? I have, you know, 2 years. And then I just, when the 2 years was up, I never reapplied. I never went back to it because it wasn't something I wanted to do anymore. So yeah, I was just working like 4 or 5 days a week at the restaurant, and then sort of trying to figure out what was it that I wanted to do. And then as the running got better, I just did that and was like, oh, I'll figure out my career later.
Did you have like a coach that was like, okay, you're back to training, you're getting faster in all these races, like who planted that seed? Maybe you can go to the Olympics.
You know, I think my college coach was the coach I went back to. And, you know, she was great. And she always, you know, told me I was talented and whatnot, but it wasn't until, 2013. So this was, almost 4 years ago that I moved about an hour from where I was. And I had decided I was going to get a new coach. And I sat down with who's my coach now, Richard Lee. And, you know, he basically told me he thought that I had the ability to make world championships and, you know, qualify for the Olympics. And he was like, I was like, really? And I believed him. And I think as soon as I really believed what he said. My training improved the way I trained, the way I believed it. And, you know, it's a lot of mental, right? If you don't think you ever have a shot, it's never going to happen. So it was probably in 2013 that I started to think maybe I could go to the Olympics.
Isn't that crazy what someone says to you, how like severely it can affect what your belief is in yourself?
Yes.
I mean, you're sitting here saying that now and just in a completely different scenario in my life and my running. My husband can feed me information, not about going to the Olympics. That's not the level that I'm at. But he can just feed me things about my times and my workouts. And the second he says it, I start believing it. And if he hadn't said it, I wouldn't believe it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're 35 and you just ran. You ran in the Olympics over the past summer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like in your
mid-30s,
I'm approaching that and I'm scared about it. I don't know why. I'm scared
it's okay.
That
my friend's 48, so I always feel young.
Oh, that is good. That's great. I always feel like once I hit mid-30s, that's going to feel a lot different than just, you know, I'll be 34 this summer, so.
Close. We're like a year and a half apart.
Do you wait until 35 to say mid-30s, though?
Yes.
Okay. So I have a year and a half to do that. But my question is, do you feel like in your training, you know, this intensely in your 30s, do you have to be a lot more careful with how well you strength train and cross train and not running as high mileage as someone who's 25, 26?
I'm just starting to realize that now. I never used to get as injured as I do now. And I think it's partly because I never used to train as hard as I do now. But I think it's with anyone, doesn't matter your age. So if you've been pounding on mileage since you're 12 years old, by the time you hit 25, you're going to be getting injured all the time. Your body just can't handle it. So I think it's the same. I've come to the sport and gone to this heavy training a lot later than people that you, most 35-year-olds that are competing at my level, have probably been doing mileage a lot longer than I have. So I'm sort of like a young competitive 35, but I definitely, you know, in the last few years have realized I do need to concentrate so much more on all the little things just because I am, you know, getting older and I've been pounding my legs for so many years. I need to take care of them. So, I had surgery on my foot in December because I had really bad arthritis in my toe. Old lady problems. So, they shaved down the bone spur and removed a bone fragment. So I'm just getting back to running now, but definitely, like, you know, that's not the kind of injury you're going to see in a young 20-year-old is an arthritis in your toe, right? So
is that like a genetic thing though for you, or is it, what, you know, it seems random.
I don't know if it's genetic. I mean, I'm not sure. It's just, you know, not a lot, but it's common to get arthritis in that big toe joint for runners after a while. So
are you all healed up from that?
It'll go away, but.
Oh, it won't go away.
No.
So are you healed up from that, back to running?
It was a very slow process. I had the surgery on December the 23rd and I had to take 4 full weeks off. I mean, of course I was still cross training, but you know, decided to be very careful. And then I just graduated from my run walk program this weekend. So I'm finally starting to run without walking. So that's good. I ran 14K today with no walking or anything. And, you know, it's still sore in the toe joint because you're learning to use it again. But it's good. I'm so happy to be back running and training.
I want to go back to Rio a little bit. Was that a surreal experience?
It's still surreal, even when I talk about it. It's like, oh yeah, I was at the Olympics, but it wasn't. It was always like we were there, and we're like, man, we're at the Olympics. We're in the Olympic Village. Like, it's just, it's crazy, you know, because you're there and you're with your friends, your teammates, and you've competed against these people and been on teams with them for years. So for me, it was just another, you know, rather race, another thing. But I think when it sort of set in was after my race was done, I was sitting in the stands and our seats were like second, third, fourth row, like so good. And I was sitting there and it was watching the men's 10,000 and watching, you know, Mo Farah win gold. And it was like, you are at the Olympics. And I made a snap video and I was like, I'm at the Olympics. Like, oh my God. And it got picked up by the Snapchat, something or other. And I had like, I don't know, like 500,000 views or something. It was crazy. But it was, I was just like, is this really happening? Like,
that's yeah. Awesome.
It was definitely an amazing experience. So,
What was the race like for you? How did you race?
I was really happy with the race. I mean, again, last winter I was injured. I had a stress fracture in my foot. So I wasn't able to get back into training until late March, early April. So, and it was a really rough go for me last spring, early summer, just trying to get into shape. So I ran my second fastest 10K ever. I was only 10 seconds off my personal best, which is the Canadian record. And I was really happy with that because, you know, it was really the only good race I had all year. You know, I got healthy for the Olympics and then I got home and I got injured right away. So it was, it was good. It was fast. I mean, I don't know if you watched it, but
yeah.
It was pretty crazy being in that race. So
it was insane. My jaw was like to the floor. Like, what is happening?
And it was weird because I knew I was running at a good pace. And when I got lapped at like halfway, I'm like, what? I just ran through 5K at like 15:42 or something. And I just got lapped. What the heck did she run? Then I just stopped thinking about it. I was like, okay, I don't want like, but I thought that was pretty crazy. And, but it was definitely cool to be a part of that. And yeah, so I was happy with the race. I was relieved when it was over, just like that I didn't like, you know, shit the bed. So that was good. I was so worried because I ran so terribly at World Championships the year before. So I was very relieved that I ran well and it was over. I could go and have a nice big glass of wine with my family.
Totally. Do you get more nervous for a race like that? Obviously, the Olympics. But, you know, a big race like that, are your nerves different than other big race at home, you know?
I think with this race, I had seen, I went and saw, you know, a counselor and a sports psychologist to help me deal with some of the anxiety I was dealing with leading into the Olympics. And it was one of the first, you know, big races I had where I was nervous, but I was calm. And I had told myself, and I knew it was true, I had done everything that I could to prepare for that day. And the work has been done. And I just chose to be confident. And when I chose to be confident, it was like I didn't feel that nervous. I just, you know, I was nervous when I was on the start, like at the actual start line. But that morning and, you know, the days leading up, I was feeling pretty good. And I think there'd been several races where I just let the nerves get the best of me. And so I was very relieved that I didn't, you know, feel super nervous. I don't know if you saw the beginning where I ran up to the camera.
I didn't.
No. So you go through the tunnel.
Oh, right.
Stadium, and there's a camera that's at like
uh-huh.
level. And all the other girls like just ran out in the stadium and I stopped and I was like,
ah! That's awesome.
I had no idea that it was like the camera that the whole world was seeing. So everybody, like when I, the next day when I looked at my social media, people had screenshot it and all like Facebook and everything was like, Tasha, what is wrong with you?
It's like, take yourself too seriously. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so.
That is awesome. I love that. I think I was running behind, like I was on my way home from something and I turned it on right as you guys were about to take off at the beginning of the race. So, you know, a lot of people say you're nervous, whatever, you're standing at the start line, you're nervous. Do you find, and then people say the nerves go away once the gun goes off and the race starts. Do you find that to be true most of the time?
Yeah, it usually takes a couple laps. Glad I'm not an 800 meter runner. Nervous the whole time. Yeah, it usually takes a couple laps for everything to settle and then I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're in the middle of a race and you're having some mental blocks? You're feeling like, what have I gotten myself into? How do you get through it?
Well, It's funny because I went through that like exact same, this conversation with my, with the sports psychologist. And I said, you know, what do I do when it gets to that part in the race and it hurts? Like, how do I not say, you know what, it's okay, you can back off a little bit. Like, you've done really good up to this point. Let's just rein it in. So, you know, it's basically learning, especially in a 10,000 or anything longer, is to sort of try to shut your mind off for as long as you can and just get, like, in that pack. And so the longer you're not using, you know, it's exhausting of those races to constantly be battling. So as long as we're... as long as you can, and when those negative thoughts start to come in, when you start to get really tired, then you've sort of saved your, you know, you've got some mental, what is it, readiness? I don't know. So then you can start, to fight it. So I had phrases that I would repeat in my mind. So in my head, I was saying, you know, be brave, which I have tattooed on my wrist, and be strong, be tough. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And it was just like, I would just go over and over and over again. I would just repeat these things in my mind and not let the negative thoughts come in. And it's so hard to do that, of course, when you're hurting, but you know, it worked for me for the most part, right? You can only, unless you're like super out of shape and
right.
You literally can't run that fast. But yeah, so it's just to try to block out the negative thoughts and continue to repeat phrases that are important to you or that mean something to you. So that's what I did.
That's really good. People at any level can use that. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah. And I think something I had never thought about before is what she said is, you know, you can exhaust yourself mentally if you're spending the whole race trying to fight these negative things and trying to go. So to be able to sort of try and shut it off for as long as possible and just relax is also a challenge, right? So I'm still learning to do that, but I think it's important.
When did you run your first marathon?
I've run one.
Right.
To Toronto in 2013.
So was that, I mean, obviously that's pre deciding you're going to try to do the 10K at Rio. Why did you go ahead and go for the big distance?
I started training for the marathon when I moved, when I did the move. That was like sort of, I was going to move into marathoning. I wasn't sure about the 10K at that, you know, 100%. I just knew, you know, my coach thought I had the ability to be an Olympic level 10K marathoner sort of. So I trained for that around the marathon, which, you know, for me, I didn't really enjoy the training as much as I had enjoyed the training. I love the track. So I love hard workouts. And in marathon training, you don't really get the chance to go and hammer those workouts because you're always tired. Right? I don't know if you run marathons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know what it is. It's always a grind. It's just a grind. It's grind. It's grind. So I decided after that I wanted to try and run some fast track stuff. And then next thing you know, I'm, you know, focused solely on tens and halves. And there has never really been the right time to train for a marathon. But we're hoping this fall that I'll be healthy enough to run a marathon.
Ooh, and so you ran a 2:35.
Yes.
That's fast. Was that your goal time?
My goal was 2:35.
Oh,
and
wow.
I ran 2:35:11.
Wow, that's amazing.
Thanks.
So
yeah.
Did you run a pretty even split then?
It was very even. I think I was like 1:17:30 and then 1:17:41.
Wow. That had to feel good to, you know, finish on that note.
Yeah. I ran with one of my training partners and we did a lot of our training together and we ran the whole race together.
Aww.
And I didn't wear my GPS watch. He wore his and he was constantly like, be patient, slow down. So, it was a very good experience. And I, you know, people had said, oh, why don't you try to run 2:30? Like you can do that. And I'm like, maybe I can, maybe I can't. The last thing I want to do is have a bad experience my first time. And I'm very fortunate that I crossed the finish line and it hurt, but it wasn't like, you know, people were telling me, oh, you're going to hit 35K and it's going to be the worst pain in your life. But I think because we were so conservative in the beginning, I hit 35K and I started to like, I was like, okay, it hurts, but I'm not going to die.
That's awesome.
Although I would say, for the next 2 days, I could barely walk.
Totally. So will that be a big focus for you then, train if you're healthy enough to train for the fall marathon?
Yeah, I mean, right now the goal is London World Championships in August, okay, in the 10,000. I've already run the standard for Canada, and so as long as I get fit and no three girls run faster than my time, then I'll get to go. In okay. Canada, we don't have trials for the 10,000. So that's pretty cool. So I kind of have, I ran the standard at the Olympics last year, so it still counts. So that's pretty cool to have that under my belt and have something to train for.
I was going to ask you about that with the Olympics. How does that process work in Canada?
Oh, it was ridiculous. It was, I don't know if you read any of my blogs, but there was a blog that I wrote because someone asked me, what was it like that moment you knew you were going to the Olympics? And I was like, it was an 18-month ordeal.
Oh my God.
It wasn't like the U.S. Olympic trials where you guys have it right. Okay, you cross the line, you have the standard, you're in the top three, you go.
Uh-huh.
For the 10,000 meters in Canada and the marathon, it's not like that at all.
Okay.
You run the standard, and then you wait till the very, like till July, basically.
Oh,
and
my
then
gosh.
Whatever, then they look, and they say, then the head coach and the national track committee looks at the, they have a meeting, and they look, and they think, okay, so we have these three girls that have run the standard in the 10,000 meter. Do we want to send them? So it's still, like, in small print, it says, like, discretion of the head coach. And then the other thing that Canada did was anyone that ran the standard before January of last year, there was a number of us that had ran Olympic standards, had to basically redo it, or it was called proof of fitness. And a lot of people's proof of fitness was actually faster than the Olympic standard. It was so crazy. So my proof of fitness was actually I had to run a 5,000 meters under 15:40. So mine was pretty, they were quite nice to me because they knew I'd had that stress fracture. And so I had to run that by like June 13th. And I ran 15:37 on the track.
Of 2016?
I ran that, yeah. Like in May, right?
Olympics.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously they want to make sure that if you,
right,
that you're fit to go to the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I would never have wanted to go if I wasn't fit. So, but it was just such a jumble, and, you know, I was waiting. I got an email at 2 o'clock in the morning that said, congratulations, you've been selected. Literally.
That's crazy. 2 o'clock in the
morning. Yeah. And so the rest of the track events were basically, if you have the standard in your top two, you go, but third, fourth place, it was up to the discretion of the NTC and the head coach. So some people that were ranked third in Canada and had the standard didn't get a go.
Oh,
I know.
And they only sent two people in the event.
Yes.
Oh, what a bummer for that person. I have a friend that ran the steeple for Great Britain. And, I think their process must be similar because he kept trying to explain it to me. And I'm like, I don't get it because I just know, you know, here in the United States, top three at the trials go. You know?
Sense.
Yeah. So would you prefer that to be the process?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think that's how a lot of people feel? Yeah. So you're sponsored by ASICS.
I am.
I like that sweatshirt.
Thanks. Well, you know what? I mean, my contract ended at the end of December. So, I mean, I still say I'm with them. I think that ASICS Canada is going through a bunch of changes and stuff. So I'm fully confident that I will continue working with them.
Is it similar though, like your sponsorship through ASICS as, you know, like an American ASICS athlete, like Sarah Hall runs for ASICS?
They're ASICS USA.
Okay. So it's a different.
Yeah, it's very different.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I've heard really good things though about the people here that run for ASICS.
Lots of fast athletes run for ASICS. It's, you know, number one thing, I love the shoes.
Mm.
They make great shoes, great running shoes. It's the number one running shoe in Canada, most run shoe. I like their racing spikes. I like their gear. Yeah, I've been with them for almost 4 years, so it's good company.
What do what shoe do you run in just for like your everyday runs?
Not the Nimbus. It's like running on the cloud.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you wear?
I wear Saucony. Right now I'm wearing the Zealots though. I wear an orthotic in my shoe. So yeah. So I have to wear a very neutral shoe. So the Nimbus would work.
Yeah. It's great. I love it. Nimbus and the Cumulus. I like them both.
I tried to go no orthotic for like a year, and long story short, I ended up literally tearing my plantar fascia. So yeah, like I had plantar fascias for a while, but I mean, I was doing a tempo run and I felt it tear on the treadmill. It was awful.
I've heard people that have said that as awful. And I plantar fascias forever, but I never like tore it.
Oh, and the bottom of my foot was like black and blue and swollen. I mean, at first I was like hobbling around like, oh, I hurt my foot. And I got home and I'm like, no, literally I cannot bear weight on my foot and it's black and blue. I couldn't believe it. It was crazy. So it was like a 3-month process before I could even start really, I think maybe 10 weeks before I could even start run walking again. So it was a big nasty injury. So I'm faithfully back to my orthotics. So, what do you do for cross training?
Oh boy, I've been cross training basically since the end of September. I've been injured. So I took 2 weeks off. When I say off, I mean cross train. So an example of cross training for me, I try to mix it up. So elliptical, spinning, biking, and pool running.
Okay.
So I find if I kind of go 1-2-3, 1-2-3, it doesn't like, you know what I mean? Like I go between the three, mix them up evenly, then I don't get too sick of it. But I usually try to do a lot of interval training when I'm cycling. Otherwise, I can't sit on the bike. I hate spinning the most of all of them. But I'll do workouts on the bike, so I'm constantly, and you can work really hard. I've managed to stay, you know, reasonably fit. You know, I didn't, like any athlete, you know, you try to gain a bit of weight in your off season, I guess, because I had leaned out a lot for the Olympics. So I wanted to gain at least 5 pounds through the fall and the winter. So I gained that. But, you know, you normally it's kind of a struggle because when you're used to training 120, 150K a week, sorry, I don't know what that is in miles.
What is that? Is it 42?
160K is 100 miles. So I would say like 80 to 90 miles is what I would run in a week.
Okay.
And so when you're doing that, you know, it's easy to stay, you know, and you're doing intervals and all this stuff. So the cross training, you know, pool running, as hard as you're pool running, you never really feel like you're doing much because you're not sweating.
Mm-hmm.
But, I usually would pool run 5 days a week, spin 5 days a week. And elliptical, I find the best of them all. But it's also has the most impact,
right?
As I'm sure you know. So, I don't swim because I'm terrible at it.
I was wondering that when you said pool running, you don't ever swim laps?
No. I did last year when I had the stress fracture a bit, but not this year. I just pool ran, elliptical, and of course I do yoga as well, and I strength train twice a week. So,
do you feel like pool running is more beneficial than swimming laps, or do you literally just do it because you don't like swimming?
No, I think pool running is much better for a runner than swimming.
Okay.
I mean, swimming is great for your cardio, but it's working completely different muscles than for running. So pool running, you're using some of the same muscles.
Yeah. What's an example of like a pool running workout that you would do, and how long would you do a pool run for?
One of my typical pool running workouts would be 20 minute warm up and then 20 times 1 minute hard, 1 minute easy.
Okay.
20 minute cool down.
Gosh, that 20 minute warm up and cool down, I feel like that would take forever. It would feel forever.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't do the full cool down.
Maybe
it's 10 minutes.
When you're doing 20 minutes hard, did you say 20 minutes? No, 20 times 1 minute hard, 1 minute easy, right?
Yes, takes 40 minutes.
Yeah. So that takes a long time, but when you're switching it up like that, it makes it go by a lot faster. And you're working hard, obviously.
Yeah, I did it yesterday morning, and people look at me like I'm crazy, but it's okay.
Man, yeah.
Or the thing is, too, when I'm pool running And other people that are kind of in the area, like the lifeguard stuff, they want to talk to me.
Oh yeah.
And I'm doing intervals and I'm literally like, can't breathe.
Yeah.
And I feel so rude, but
you're actually working really hard.
I know I'm working. It doesn't look like it, but I swear I'm working really hard.
Do you go like, do you stay in one spot or do you kind of like go back and forth when you do it?
Back and forth. Well, we've got here in Vancouver, we have, the aquatic center in Vancouver, the big aquatic center, is awesome. It's got a giant dive tank. And so it takes me like almost 15 minutes to do a big circle of the dive tank. Mm. And there's usually not many people there in the afternoon. So
that probably breaks it up more too. I tried to do water jogging or running or whatever when I was injured. And so we had just had laps in the pool I was in. So I just kind of So I was like kind of staying in the deeper side of the laps. And it's probably not nearly as interesting as doing the whole four corners.
Yeah, you know, we're like, oh, I switched directions in the pool today. Exciting stuff. Yeah.
It's a big deal. I got halfway through and switched directions.
Yeah, it's definitely boring, but I can pin my iPod in my bun and then clip my earphones here so I can wear music, which is kind of nice.
I was wondering about that too. Yeah. I was looking through your Instagram and saw you were posted a couple of like strength training workouts that you do. Somebody needs to come up with, or you could do it. I feel like you already have it. You post it on Instagram. I was wandering around the gym today because I did a hard run yesterday and my legs were super beat up. So I was like, I need to take care of my body and do some strength work and not obsess over running. And, you know, but I wandered around like a lost puppy because I didn't know what to do other than the basic strength training for runners, you know, like planks and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's funny because I'm actually doing a photo shoot with Canadian Running Magazine next week, and they're doing two issues. I'll be in two issues. So one will be focused on one of my lower body workouts, and one will be focused on one of my upper body workouts. So it'll be sort of a typical session that I would do. I'm very fortunate because I work out with – I'm sponsored by a personal training company, so I have – personal trainers, and I go in the gym and they work with me and they tell me exactly what to do. So that's great. But I mean, if I didn't, I'm at the point now where I've been working with them for 4 years. Mm. I know what to do. But I think it's really hard for a lot of runners to want to go to the gym and do strength work after they've just ran for an hour and it's a challenge for everybody. So, and then when you get there, you're like, oh, what do I do? And you have no one to push. And so I think I always suggest to people to go with a partner. Mm. And it's much easier because that partner can see what you're doing. And then they can say, hey, your plank sucks. Like, lift your hips up. You know, you can't really see what you're doing. So I think that's helpful to go with somebody. And you guys can help each other out, making sure you're doing the right thing. And say, hey, I just learned this cool exercise. You want to try it? And stuff like that. So
that's a really good point. And you know, for so many years, I would always say, I'm going to do my run first and then I'm going to do my strength. And today I specifically was like, no, you go do some strength and then you run, because you know, I'm not going to skip my run, because for some reason I hold that to a higher importance. So I specifically, you know, I did my standard strength and then I was like, okay, add like 3 or 4 extra things. And then hop on the treadmill. Everybody, before I continue my conversation with Natasha, I want to tell you about the Runner's World Women's Getaway in Beaver Creek Mountain, Avon, Colorado. So Runner's World is putting together a weekend to runwind, soul gathering for women by women. It's a great way to recharge with your girlfriends, and they have the perfect concept. So you get to run, you get to relax, and you get to meet the Runner's World editors and hang out with world-class marathoner Shalane Flanagan and Whole Foods chef Elise Kopecky, who, I might add, have been on this podcast. You head back to episode 33, you can hear my episode with Shalane and Elise, and that'll probably encourage you even more to want to go on this retreat. It's a 4-day, 3-night deal, and it is going to be a blast. So much fun stuff going on. Everything that you can imagine in a perfect getaway for you and your girlfriends. You guys can email Runner's World at getaway@runnersworld.com for more information. And if you head over to the show notes for this episode, just go to lindseyhine.com and you can find more information on how to register and what it's all about. All right, let's continue my conversation with Natasha. So what about nutrition? What kind of, do you follow any special diet when you're in hard training, or what does your food look like?
No, you know, I am not, probably not your typical elite runner in the way that I eat. I mean, I'm not super, what's the word, regimented. I'm not, I eat healthy, but I don't, I'm not obsessive about it. And I like to drink wine. I like to drink a lot of wine. I like to eat a lot of chocolate. I like to live a normal life, basically. Mm-hmm. But when I'm in hard training, I do understand that you're like a luxury car. You need to put high-end gasoline in. That metaphor is. So I do understand that I need to fuel my body properly. And so I'm pretty good with, you know, getting those post-workout smoothies in. I love smoothies. It's so easy because you can get through a run and throw in some protein powder, bananas, peanut butter. You're done, right? And but yeah, I cook very basic. You know, I bake a lot of chicken, a lot of salmon here on the West Coast. We have lots of fresh food. So lots of salmon. I love baked yams. So I do eat some health stuff, you know, salad, that sort of stuff. Every morning I have Greek yogurt, blueberries, and granola, like every single morning. I don't like oatmeal, so you won't see me eating steel-cut oats or anything like that.
Are you a coffee drinker?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I have coffee with my breakfast, and then, yeah. And then lunch is like whatever, a sandwich or eggs, you know, basic, but that's it. I see a lot of people posting on Instagram all the time, all these like super healthy, complicated lunches. I'm like, who has time to make that?
And if you have the time, like, do you really want to spend the time doing that? Do you completely abstain though from wine, like say 3 weeks before the, you know, Olympics or whatever, or do you give yourself a little treat?
So before the Olympics, I wanted to drop to my race weight. So I had, and this is for normal people, they'll laugh, but I wanted to drop 2 pounds. I wanted to be a specific weight on race day. So I was like, well, the only way to do that is to cut out sugar. So I was like, no wine. And like, I said sugar as in like basically bad sugars, because I wasn't going to cut out like good sugars, you know? So I just said obvious sugar. So like wine, chocolate, candy, that sort of stuff. So I think I made it a week without having any sweets. And then I was like, screw this, I need some chocolate. So then I said, it's okay, right, to have a little bit of chocolate and dessert. But I went 2 weeks without having any wine. I had one glass of wine the night before I flew to Rio. I had dinner with a really good friend of mine. And he was like a farewell dinner, and he had a glass of wine. It was really nice. And then that was it. So I had one glass of wine in 3 weeks. But hey, I got to my race weight.
I was going to say, and that you don't think that affected your race at all, huh?
No, no. I mean, I think it would have been stupid had I continued to do 3 weeks without any of the normal sugars that I ate. So I realized that after a week, don't be an idiot. Like, it's not, so then I started to eat normally again. But I was eating, like, I eat a lot of chocolate and sweets. And so I've tried to not eat as many, but I'm addicted to sugar. I can't.
Oh, you only get one life, man. Cut out sugar all the time. That'd be really sad.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I'm happy with how I eat, and everyone can always eat better and you can try, but it's one of the things that I definitely know I could probably improve.
Do you think that those extra 2 pounds, like when you're racing at the level that you're racing at, do you notice a big difference?
I mean, who knows, right? You know, it's more of an idea in my head that, like, you know, a woman who's my height should be between 100 and, you know, 102 and 104 pounds, and between, you know, 10 and 12% body fat. You know, these are the things that you're told that are, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, who knows? Because I ran some of my best races when I'm, you know, like 108, not 102. So I just think I wanted to do everything that I possibly could to make sure I had the best race. And so for me, that meant I wanted to be the, you know, the race weight that I thought I would run the fastest at.
That's awesome. What are your next big goals? I mean, the fall marathon, I mean, well, you're wanting to run Worlds this summer.
Hopefully, yes.
But
to get healthy.
Yeah. But, you know, you're 35. Are you thinking, I'm going to try this again, this Olympics thing in 4 years? Or what's the next big thing?
Definitely right now, I've learned to just take it one season at a time, I think. Just with my body always seeming to be injured. And every time I try to make a plan, I'm just, you know, and I don't know how much longer I want to do this. You know, I do love it, but I also, you know, maybe I want to start a family. You know, I don't know when I'm going to really get that urge, but I'm 35. So at this point, I think if I were to, you know, say, oh, I'm going to get pregnant next year, then I think that would probably be the end of my running career.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want to wait another 4 years to have, then I'd be, so who knows, you know. Us female athletes have it so hard. Those guys,
I know,
all these elite men, they have two kids, then have to stop training.
I know. Like, take an entire year off to, like, grow the baby, and then you got to take, like, another year to get back in shape, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah. How old's your baby?
Well, I have three kids. And
oh, my God.
My oldest is 4.5, and then I have a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old.
Oh, geez. So
yeah.
You know how hard it is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm not anywhere near an elite runner, but that being said, I do take my running fairly seriously and for, you know, your everyday common runner, and it's a lot of work. I mean, it's hard to get back in shape, and I've ran through all my pregnancies, but man, it's just like, well, and after the third though, I'm just more tired for so many other reasons because there's three of them, you know.
I cannot imagine.
You know, I will say, though, after my first, I was probably in the best shape of my life when he was, like, one. So, okay. So where'd you meet your boyfriend?
We were set up.
Oh, okay. Just by
a friend? The week I got home from the Olympics.
Okay.
We were set up. Yeah, on a – I guess I would – it was a blind date because we had never met, but the other couple was there. So
okay.
My friend was dating his friend.
Okay.
And so we all went out together.
What do you think about blind dates like that?
I'd never really been on a blind date like that. Like, I'd been on, like, some online dates, some Tinder dates. That's right, world. I went on Tinder.
Okay, my best friend does it, too.
Yeah, and so nothing like that. But this was completely, like, all I'd really seen was a picture of him and was told a little bit about him. And same with, except the difference is that he could Google me. So right. He Googled me before the date. And what pops up on Google? Everything. My whole life story. You know, I have a website. I've got videos. Like, you can know anything about me. And I write a blog. So, you know, he came in prepared. Like, he knew the questions to ask me.
He had note cards.
So it was funny. He was asking me some questions. I'm like, how did he know that? Like, that was, but it was good. And we were, like, inseparable pretty much since then. So.
He was probably really excited. He's like, man, a young, hot runner.
Something like that, I guess. But, you know, he's older than me, but he's an orthopedic surgeon. So I was like, give me this.
Impressed for different doctor. Reasons.
Yeah. Call him, you know, Dr. McDreamy.
Oh, that's so cute. So you guys have been together since September.
Yes.
You're like in the thick of it. I mean, you're like in love stage.
Yes, very much.
I say that because I saw your Instagram. So I've seen that you vocalized that.
Yes. Yeah. It's the really fun stage. We're going to Spain together, in 2 weeks.
Do you love to travel?
I love to travel. It's what I miss the most about competing is getting to travel. So
what's the coolest place you've ever been?
Ooh. I liked New Zealand. I didn't go there for running, but I thought New Zealand was pretty cool. That's a tough question. Yeah, I'll pick New Zealand.
What's your dream place to go?
I want to go to Bora Bora and have a week on those little huts that are on the water.
Yes. That just seems like a dream to me. Like, do people actually go do that?
Yes, they do.
We looked into it. Yes, that sounds amazing.
Do it.
Who are your role models, like mentors in running?
Shalane Flanagan is like my number one running idol. I met her briefly a couple of times, and I was so nervous all the times. But I remember this year I went to watch the women's marathon at the Olympics, and after the race, I was in like the back area with all like the elites or all the people that had ran the marathon. Sorry. And I was talking to our girls that ran it. And then I saw the Americans were just like Amy and, Shalane were just like down the way. And I had been chatting with the US team physio during the race. I went over and I said hi to him and I'm like, do you think I could say hi to Shalane? And he's like, yeah, of course. So they were like, they'd, you know, finished the marathon like half an hour before. So they're just sitting on the ground. I'm like, hi ladies. Like, just wanted to say, like, you're so inspirational. Congratulations. And they were so nice.
Oh,
like, what did you do? Like, why are you here? And I'm like, oh, I ran the 10,000. They're like, oh, awesome. How'd it go? And I was like, why are they asking me about my race? They just ran the marathon. Right. So, yeah, I think she's amazing. And she's the same. I think she's the same age as me or 1 year younger or older, but just the things that she's accomplished, and she's like so amazing. I think she's one of the best American distance runners ever.
Totally. I had her on this podcast, and I don't know how many episodes ago, but I was equally like, I was super nervous too, because I was just like, you know, I feel like of all the elite famous runners out there, she's like the one, you know.
Yeah, she's pretty incredible.
Yeah, her, I feel like maybe the right word is like fearlessness when she runs, and just like the goals that she puts out there, just bold, just, I want to do
Absolutely.
This.
Yeah, for sure.
Very inspiring.
She just, you know, she goes out and she runs, like, she doesn't care about the Kenyans and the Ethiopians. She's, you know, just as good, if not better than them. And I like that she's just like this. Awesome. Inspirational for sure.
Yeah. I can see how that would be insanely intimidating too, lining up with everybody. Okay. So we always end the podcast with some fun, random questions.
Okay.
What's the best advice you've ever been given?
At first, if you don't succeed, try again.
That's good.
Real advice, I think, for running.
Anything.
Running advice, I would say, don't let the highs get too high and the lows get too lows.
That's good.
That's good. Yeah.
And that can pertain to anything, not just running.
Yes,
just running.
Absolutely.
Very good.
But it's really hard when you're running well and you're just like on this whole, you're just flying. And then you get injured like the next day. Mm. And it's amazing how you can go from that high to that low. So you got to try and be like, you know what? It's okay. I'm injured. Or I have a really good race. That's okay. Cool. I had a good race. Not being like, oh, I am the best in the world.
That's really good.
Be like that, you know, like, oh, it's the world. I'm never going to be injured forever, you know. So
gotta like just
keep it level.
If you could have coffee or cocktail, I feel like you're going to choose cocktail. I don't know, based on our conversation. If you could have a coffee or cocktail with anybody, who would it be?
Donald Trump. Just kidding.
That's hysterical.
Oh, wow. Living or dead?
It doesn't matter.
You
got to say somebody else, or else I'm going to tell the world you'll choose Donald Trump.
Okay. Let's say Brad Pitt.
Oh, okay. He's recently getting divorced, though, so your boyfriend might get a little jealous.
Oh, boy. I had the biggest crush on Brad Pitt for my entire, you know, high school years, so why not meet him?
That's the thing about men is, like, no matter how old he gets, he's still going to be attractive. You know, he's going to be, like, 70, and he's still going to be attractive.
Yes, he is.
That's not right.
I only have eyes for my boyfriend.
It's completely realistic to live like that. If you, what are you loving these days? Anything new that you've recently purchased, or any app or anything that you're loving?
Skype. No.
2008.
What am I loving these days? Does wine count?
Yeah. What kind of wine? What's your favorite wine?
We tried, it's called a, we have beautiful wines here in BC, in Canada. So for anyone listening, they should try some wines from the Okanagan in British Columbia. We make some fabulous wines. So right now I'm liking La Stella Pinot Gris. It's quite nice.
Nice.
From BC. That's not really running related, so I don't
know. It could be anything, though. It doesn't have to be running related.
Well, you know what's really hard? Because I haven't been, I've only just gotten back into the running. So I'm still, I haven't had to really try any new shoes or new spikes or anything like that. But Asics has the new Dynaflight, which is like their new, it's kind of like the Nimbus, but a little bit lighter. It is awesome. It's a pretty nice shoe to do.
And I'm digging that sweatshirt. What's the sweatshirt?
It's just one of my favorite hoodies. It's just an Asics pullover hoodie. Like, all I'd ever do is wear comfortable clothes. So
same.
Yeah.
I was just like thinking how I need to like once a week maybe put on a pair of jeans instead of, you know, like running tights or athleisure joggers or whatever.
Oh yeah. So you know Lululemon's from Vancouver, right?
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the head office is like 10 blocks from my old house. And
so are you a Lululemon consumer?
You know, I like to wear their casual stuff, yes. You know, obviously I'm with Asics, so I only run in Asics. Right. But, I mean, Lululemon makes some pretty nice, comfortable clothes. So, you know, I rock a lot of those Lululemon tights and jogging pants and hoodies and whatnot. So, yeah.
I literally had to take my son to the doctor this morning, and I was like, just put on jeans for like the hour and a half that you're going to the doctor. And I couldn't even bring myself to do it because I knew I was going to go work out later anyway. And I'm like, I can't stuff myself in jeans right now that are tight and uncomfortable for even an hour and a half.
I totally agree. I never wear jeans. Like, unless I'm actually going out for dinner or doing something, I'm in like... Right now, like, I'm in running tights.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I've been in them all day.
I put jeans on for the first time probably since I had my son, who's 4 months old, to go to my other son's, like, school Valentine's Day party. And I'm still working on, like, getting back into the pants that fit, you know? And I knew that it would be hard to button them, but I was like, okay, you can handle this, like, tight button for an hour and a half. That's the how long you're going to be there, you can do it. And I did it, and it was a big accomplishment. So I've worn jeans once.
You're like, oh, yeah, I look good.
Yeah, and I actually did feel good. You know, I wore a looser shirt, and I felt good in the jeans, but man.
They are not comfortable.
No, not at all. What is the best, most recent book you've read?
The most recent book? I read The Girl on the Train.
Was it good?
Meh, it was okay.
Hard to get into, I've heard.
Yeah, it took me like a long, I actually don't even think I finished it. I think, you know what happened is I got 3/4 of the way through and then the movie was on, like, it came out on DVD and I watched it, the movie, and I was like, well, I know the ending now, so.
No point to finish it.
Yeah, I did not finish the book.
What about any shows? Do you guys watch shows?
Yeah, we just finished watching The Affair.
Oh, is that it was new, really good. Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's on 3 seasons. So we watched 3 seasons in a month, which is not, I'm not a big, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV and shows, but this one was really good. It was on, I think it was Crave TV that we got a subscription to. It's not on Netflix. And The Bachelor.
Oh, are you into The Bachelor?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. Let's go there.
Well, I already know who wins.
Oh, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I didn't watch last night.
I always want Galaxy Steve and read the spoilers every season. I can't help myself. Yeah.
Yeah, I have friends that do that. But I thought it was super weird that they announced that Rachel was going to be the Bachelorette before she got kicked off.
Yeah, I have no idea. Something must have, like, there must have been a leak somewhere, and so they wanted to do it before it got leaked all over. So.
Yeah, that was super weird. And then what do you think about him?
Nick?
Yeah.
Apparently you don't like him. I can tell by the look on your face. You're like, what do you think about him? I like Nick.
Really?
But yeah, I've always liked Nick.
Okay.
I wanted to apply to go on The Bachelor.
Yeah, you're like the perfect candidate.
But then I met
You met your boyfriend.
And then we were watching it, and I told him I was going to apply. He goes, that guy? It was kind of like your face right now.
Well, if you wanted to apply, what's your opinion on all these girls being like 22, 23, and he's 37?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Like, Raven is like 24.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened even yesterday, so don't tell me yet. At some point, I'm going to try to find time to to watch it.
Yeah, I'm 4 episodes behind. I do still watch
it. Oh, you are.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I kind of like Raven. Like, I didn't like her at first, and then I thought, this is going to sound really mean, but I thought she just kind of sounded stupid, but I think it's just her accent.
Yeah, she's okay. I like her. I like the Canadian, the French girl. And she's actually closer to his age, Vanessa.
Oh, she's 30. Yeah. And she's like, she's good.
Yeah, I like her. And then there's Corinne.
Oh, crazy girl.
Yeah, but I think they just probably make her look a lot more crazy than totally. She is. And you can see that she's actually friends with a lot of the girls. You can mm-hmm. see them all hanging out and talking. So I think they just pick and choose the things that they want to make her look crazy.
Have you ever watched the show Unreal?
No.
So it's like a show that is basically like a behind the scenes show of The Bachelor.
Oh.
But it's not The Bachelor, it's some other reality show. But I guess some producers of The Bachelor are in on this, and it kind of gives you like behind the scenes, like what the producers say to the girls to make them sound crazy, and like the way they ask them questions. Like, you know, when it's the headshot of the girl like saying something, but you don't know what they've actually been asked.
Yes.
It's a crazy show, but it's really good. And I feel like if you like The Bachelor, you probably like it. You'll get started though, and you binge it. It's good.
It might be just, you guys have really good TV down there. We don't get all your TV up here.
I don't even have cable. I stream everything from like Netflix and Hulu and all these services.
Oh, maybe yeah. I can do that.
You probably can.
But a lot of the times when we try to watch stuff on here, it'll say not available in your country. You know.
Getting the shaft on how you get to the Olympics and TV.
That's okay. We have Justin Trudeau as our prime minister.
You win.
Yes, we do.
And he's cute, too.
He's super cute. Yeah. And he's just great. Every time I see him do something, like, he's just, I think he's just so great.
He's
so lucky.
How old is he? He looks really young.
He's like 45.
Yeah. He looks really young to be the prime minister. I know you're really into cats.
Just a little.
So a new question I'm asking, I just asked it for the first time in my last interview, is there any nonprofits you love to support? So I have a feeling you're going to say a cat nonprofit.
Yes, I actually volunteer. It's called VOCRA, Vancouver Orphan Kitten Rescue Association, and they are 100% nonprofit. Every single person that is there is a volunteer. And so I'm really, really proud to be part of that. And I go every Friday from 10 till noon.
Wow.
And I work at the operations center, and I help feed and clean, stuff like that. And I also foster. I help foster cats and then help them get adopted.
Do you have your own cats that are not fosters as well?
I do. I have my big orange cat. Do you want to see him?
I saw a cat crawl over at one point. Was that
him? That's Sammy. He's sleeping now by the fire. Sammy.
That's a cozy place to be.
Yeah, we're actually in a float home.
Oh, so what
we're
does
on
that
the
mean?
Water. We're on the, it's a house. It's like 1,600 square feet. It's two levels. And it was built 4 years ago, and it's on the water.
And so you're moving from that?
It moves once in a while.
No, but you're moving away from that?
Okay, so no, I'm moving. This is my boyfriend's place.
Okay.
And so he is renting here until May 1st. Okay. So I've been living here for the last few months, even though, like, no, I still have my place, but I stay here most nights, and I move my cat here. So my place is on the other side of town, and I'm actually subletting it for a couple of months, and then May 1st, we'll both move out together.
Okay. You're like, honey, it's real. My cat's moving in.
Well, the cat, when the cat moved in is when it was like, you know, we're, you know, trying to be, okay, well, we've only been dating for 3 months, so, you know, there's no way we'll actually move in together. But we were spending every single night together. So for me, I had my cat and my roommate was taking care of him. And I said, this isn't fair to my roommate. So right. I'm spending the majority of my time here. So let's just move Sammy here. It doesn't mean I'm moving in, but I stayed at home once in the last like 3 months. And then I had my surgery and he's an orthopedic surgeon and he does surgeries like the one I had on my foot. So it was amazing. He took such good care of me and I never had to worry about a thing. And it was pretty nice to have like, every day I'd be like, can I run yet? Can I run yet? Can I run yet? No, no.
Did he recommend the guy you went, or the guy or gal you went to was?
He basically was like, we met pretty much right when I got injured and he looked at my CT scans and stuff and was like, my doctor said I referred me to an orthopedic surgeon. I'm like, well, I'm dating one. So, but yeah, he was, obviously he's not allowed to do the surgery himself. You know, someone that he knew, a friend of his, got me in right away and they got the surgery done. Like everything happened so quickly. So I was really fortunate to be in that circumstance. And yeah, so he's been very good to me.
So now he can just be the person you consult with for everything injury related in this regard.
Well, because he's a doctor, I ask him everything. So I have a hangnail. I'm like, Alan, I'm like, why do I have people get hangnails? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, but you're a doctor. He's like, what?
You went to school for a really long time. Did you like, not learn really this? Long time.
Yeah, so this is pretty funny.
But, oh, man, that's sweet.
And he does some running. He did my walk running with me, which was nice to have someone. Like, he literally started from the beginning with me.
Oh.
When I was running 30 seconds, you know, running 1 minute walk.
What does he cap out at?
He ran 45 minutes with me the other day at 4:30 kilometer pace. So like 10K in 45 minutes. And that was probably smart though. I thought that was pretty good for someone that doesn't run that often.
Totally. Does he have 20 hours?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's on call a lot. Not a lot, but like once a week he's on call, which means he can get called to go in and do surgery.
No wine for him.
No, of course not.
Well, it's been really fun talking and getting to know you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I really appreciate it and enjoy moving. I'm sure that's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you, Natasha, for coming on the show. You guys can find all the information about everything we talked about in the show notes if you just go to lindseyhine.com. Thank you, Now Foods, for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. And thank you to the Runner's World Women's Getaway. All right, you guys, don't forget to leave me a rating and review on iTunes. And have a wonderful weekend. And as always, I will see you next Friday.